Hallelujah. And to the thousands that are tuned in, either through Facebook or Zoom, what are we on, Dave?
Facebook,
all right. Hallelujah and amen. Glad to have you with us. Amen. Amen. Nate was talking about the spring birds. It was good to see the spring birds this morning. It's a beautiful morning. But I thought of the two geese that flew, that always come to my house every year. They were squawking for about an hour, and I had to go out there and scare them away. They were driving us crazy. There's 3 or 4 inches of ice on the pond, so they're spring birds, but spring hasn't sprung yet, I guess, for them. During the songs there, Nate sang one song. I can't remember the name of it. Awake the Kingdom Seed in Us. What's the name of that song? Build Your Kingdom Here. It was just so much as I was listening and praising the Lord with you all that the Lord was speaking to me. You made us for, this is one of the stanzas in that song. You made us for much more than this. Awake the kingdom seed in us. Hallelujah. Nate was watching a March Madness, and he, after the game was over, he said the news came on. So he hadn't watched it in a while. He watched it, and he was blown away by just how divided this nation is. This nation is divided, but the kingdom of God is here, and the light is here, and the light pierces the darkness. We don't overcome evil with evil. We overcome it with light and truth and love and peace and joy. That's how we overcome that. And there's a word for us here this morning. And I just pray that the Lord blesses the reading of his word, the preaching of his word, and our ears to hear it. Because we do live in a very, I'll say, interesting time. We certainly do. Nate, stick to the March Madness. We have to know what's going on in the world. We have to understand the time so we know what the church has to do. And that's where I want to go this morning. Because 'tis the season. What a season. Resurrection season. Good Friday. We're going to be carrying the cross in Lancaster this year and in East Aurora. Amen. A couple hours each place. Stop and follow Jesus to the cross through the scriptures. There'll be scripture readings. And we'll be carrying that cross as a witness to this dark world. What I like to do is look at what we got for the world. What do you got? I want to maybe take inventory on what we got, because we got something good. Nate, you shared a lot of that this morning. We have something good this morning. Last time that I preached, I brought something in from Christmas time, where the angels and the glory of the Lord came and shone around the shepherds. And they had good news. They had good news of great joy that a Savior was born in Bethlehem. And the glory of the Lord came, and the angels came, and they say, glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth, and goodwill towards men. I looked at a couple different translations. It's peace on earth and peace to those who please him, or to those who have his favor. We know that God's peace, you probably saw that on the news, God's peace isn't rested on everybody. And I'm afraid that maybe the church may be missing some of the peace that we should have. Because Jesus said, in this world you will have trouble. But he said what? Take heart. If you look at it in the Greek, it means cheer up. Cheer up. Let your face know you're happy. Put a smile on your face. Yeah, we got some tough times that we're facing. We do. But take heart. Cheer up. I have overcome the world. Jesus said that. It's done. He's not, I will overcome. He says, I have overcome. And that's the message. That's one of the messages of the cross. Hallelujah. We're going to take a good look at what we have. And I pray, as Nate did, that God speaks to our heart this morning, brings a word of strength, encouragement, and comfort to the church. Because the church has a responsibility. The church has work to do. I look around. A lot of potential here. Larry has spoken about it many times for this building that's been established here for many decades. There's work to be done, my brothers and sisters, and we're going to look at that this morning. And we're each part of the body of Christ. We're each part of the work that's to be done in the kingdom. Amen? Amen? Amen. Amen. You can say amen. You don't want to say amen to just anything I say, but think about it, and so be it. Let it be so, Lord. Amen. We're all a part of the body of Christ. 2 Timothy 4:1-2. This is Paul's last letter that he wrote. And he wrote it to Timothy, his son in the Lord. And he gives him a very strong charge. And listen to this charge. 2 Timothy 4:1-2. In the presence of God and of Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge. That's quite a qualifier for the charge that he's about to give Timothy, isn't it? That is a qualifier. Here's the charge. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season with great patience and careful instruction. That word, preach, is a strong word. Kerisio. It's from the Greek, and I go to the Greek quite often. I don't know Greek. I don't know. I can't speak Greek. I'll pick a word out here or there. But the reason I use it is not to learn it. I don't want to learn the Greek. I want to use the Greek so I have a greater understanding of the words that I'm using. You understand? A greater, deeper insight into the words. Preach. And it's to make known important news and do it publicly. That's what, in the Greek, that's what preach means. To make known important news publicly. And if you're a herald, do it loudly. Hallelujah. In season or out of season. Either way, it doesn't make any difference. A good season, it's out of season. It's always season to bring the word out and take the word out. This is a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church. Amen? Amen. Okay. So what we receive here from God's word, we need to be empowered by the Holy Spirit to take it out there. Because this is a dark world that we're living in. Nate saw that recently when he turned on the news. Wow, we're really divided. Well, there may be a great division. I'd rather be divided by truth than united in error. And don't forget that. Hold to the truth. Hold to the word of God and proclaim it. At least speak it. You know, Romans 10:13 says that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But how can they call on one that they have not heard of? And how can they hear of one unless one speaks to them? And how can one speak unless they are what? Sent. Unless they go. Remember that. We're going to build on this. This is for all of us. Everybody sitting in this sanctuary, everybody that's on, what are we on, Facebook? Everybody on Facebook, I'm sorry. Everybody. This is for the body of Christ. And if you're not part of the body of Christ, don't turn us off. Stay listening. This message is for you also. Hallelujah. I want to connect the dots, the gospel message. That's what I'm looking at. That's what I'm going to focus on again this morning, the gospel message. So desperately important this day, this age. A year ago, January, February, of 2020, I was asked if I would preach for 6 months, and I said, if I would preach, and I said, yeah, let's do it for 6 months and see how it goes. It takes a lot of preparation to get ready to share the Word of God. So I didn't want a long-range commitment, but I talked to Kevin and Brad, and I said, well, let's do it for 6 months. So I thought I'd break it up in 2 months, January, February, have a series, and then what comes after February? March and April, and then May and June. Three messages, foundational. And the first foundation, January, February, was the gospel of Jesus Christ. I don't know if you remember it. Acts 10. Stayed there for January, and Brad picked up on it. Brad just followed along with it. I said, wait a minute, he's stealing my thunder. He's taking my thunder, this young man. But I was so excited about it. Brad was so excited about the gospel message, knowing the core elements of the gospel and being prepared. Be prepared in season and out of season. Hallelujah. The gospel message. Let's go to where I left off last time. I'm connecting some dots here for us all. Romans chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. But you know I've been doing a series on Romans. For me, it's just been so enlightening. So thankful for that wonderful letter that Paul wrote. Chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, and it was therefore as Paul had been writing about the faith of Abraham. And Abraham believed by faith, and it was credited to him as righteousness. His faith was credited to him as righteousness. Then he says, therefore, Paul writes, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. I'm going to take those precious virtues and build on it. Justification, faith, peace with God, our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access into his grace, into this grace, his amazing grace, in which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. The peace with God, just having peace with God. It's not just a subjective feeling. Remember that. This peace that sinners have when they understand their salvation, when they accept Jesus Christ as their atoning sacrifice for their sins. He took all our sins upon himself, suffered for them as we should have, as those who don't accept him will, and he imparts his righteousness to us. You can't get a better deal than that, my brothers and sisters. You cannot get a better deal than somebody taking all of our sins, and he's the only one that could have done it. God did it. He did it, and he did it for us because he loves us. So it's just not a subjective feeling. Well, I feel I have peace. Well, that's wonderful, but we've got to know that rather it is a objective, true status that we have now. We have a new relationship with God. Once we were enemies of God. Each and every one of us were enemies of God. God wasn't an enemy of us. He loved us, for God so loved the world. He gave his only begotten Son. We were enemies of him. Romans 5:10. For if, when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Let's understand what this reconciling does. We've been reconciled. The debt's been paid, but we've been saved because of faith in this reconciliation. We have eternal life. We have eternal life through Jesus Christ. Hallelujah, hallelujah and amen. Romans 5:11. Not only is this so, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. How do we rejoice in God? Let's not miss this. How do we rejoice in God? We rejoice in God through Jesus. We can't, it ain't in me. Maybe it's in you. You can rejoice on your own. Maybe, Nate, after you watch all that mess, you just, well, yeah, yeah, well, who cares, you know? I can't do that. I have to rejoice in the midst of all this trouble, all that's going on. Cindy and I have watched some very difficult videos. I mean, they weren't made up. It was what's going on out on the streets. Right, hon? Very difficult. There is anger out there. There is deception. Things are sinister. They're calling good evil. And they're calling evil good. Very difficult. But how do we rejoice in God? It's through Jesus Christ. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, when you face what? All kinds of trials. Because you know that the testing of your what? That's it. That's what we have to hold on to this morning. The faith that we have, the faith that God has given us through Jesus Christ, in Jesus Christ, so that we can look at this world that's coming unraveled and still have peace because God said so. He says, my children, don't worry. I have overcome this world. And it's done. God has overcome this world. He has triumphed over this world. He has triumphed over Satan by the what? Come on, say it. The cross, the blood. The cross, the blood. Remember that on Good Friday. People say, how can you say it's good? I said, well, aren't you glad that Jesus suffered and died? Oh, no. You better take another look at what happened on that cross. We should each be so thankful that Jesus, sinless Jesus, went to the cross and allowed sinful men to nail him to that cross. And on this we stand. On this we all stand. Chapter 5, verse 2. In this we stand by his grace. Hallelujah. You remember a man, Martin Luther. Martin Luther started the Reformation. He was a Catholic monk, and he was reading the scriptures. I think it was in Galatians. And he said, we are justified by faith alone. And he said, wait a minute. That doesn't line up with what I've been hearing and reading and teaching, even though it was all in Latin and nobody understood him anyways. He said, we're justified by faith alone? Yes, Martin, we are. God took that man and used him. In fact, there's a book. It says, Here I Stand. Many of you have probably read that by Martin Luther. Here I Stand. He stands in faith alone. We are justified through Jesus Christ. That's it. Not by works, lest any man boast. It's a gift of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 and 2, in regards to this, standing in faith, Paul writes to the church in Corinth. He says, now, brothers, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you have received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved if you hold firmly to the word I preach to you. Otherwise, you've believed in vain. Holding firmly, standing firm, my brothers and sisters, no matter what deception is going on out there. And this is where this has to really take hold, is out there. In here we can all agree, for the most part, on everything. We can probably find something we'll disagree on, but we'll work through that if that came up. But the gospel of Jesus Christ doesn't change when we walk out those doors and out there. But we do have to start speaking it out there. each and every one of us. Listen, what Luther understood. Let's just look at Martin Luther for a moment. He understood God's amazing grace. Luther understood we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, Jesus the Christ. Luther understood that justification was by faith in Christ and him alone. Luther understood God's love for us and that he, God, demonstrated this love, his love, in that yet while we were sinners, enemies of him, what did he do? Sent his Son to die for us. Romans 5:8. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Romans, again, staying in chapter 5, looking at hope. And hope, Romans 5:5, and hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom he has given us. God imparts his Holy Spirit in us when he sees the faith that we're putting in the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. Now, I have a question. If we have the faith to believe that God has reconciled us, if we have that faith unto himself through the precious blood of his Son, Jesus Christ, and we understand that we no longer are enemies of God, that has ended. We have been reconciled. And we understand that we have been justified of our sins and are totally forgiven. And we understand that we have peace with God through Jesus Christ. And if we understand that we have been made righteous by faith in Jesus Christ, and if we understand that we have the hope of the glory of God, and if we understand that we can now call God our Father, knowing that we are his children, and call him our friend, and we have our names written in the Lamb's Book of Life, we can now, and there's much more I could go on, time is limited, of what we can understand. I've just scratched the surface of things that we should understand. But now, if we understand that, through the Holy Spirit, we can rejoice in our sufferings. We can consider all our trials pure what? Pure joy. Man can't do that. That's through the power of God's Holy Spirit and those who will trust in him. We can love our enemies. That's a big one. Because it's going to become more intense. Darkness is going to push and push and push and want us to respond in hatred, in anger. My brothers and sisters, we can't. We have to stand firm. We have to be men, women of courage. We have to be strong, and we have to do that all in love. And we can do it under the power of the Holy Spirit. Love our enemies. We can now, through the Holy Spirit, be blessed when people say all kinds of evil against us because of Jesus. We can now, through the Holy Spirit, be blessed when we're insulted and persecuted because of the cause of Christ. We can be blessed knowing that God has a promise and a purpose for each one of us. And now, through the Holy Spirit, we can be glad and rejoice knowing that great is our reward in heaven. God is a rewarder. He knows everything we do or everything we won't do. Everything we say, everything we don't say. Another question. Then why may we be reluctant to or unable to openly live this Spirit-filled and victorious life? Why might we be reluctant or unable to live this victorious life and tell everybody and anybody the good news about Jesus Christ? Remember, by His Spirit, we no longer need to walk in fear, but rather walk by faith and not by sight. Remember whose kingdom you're a citizen of. Whose kingdom are you a citizen of? Not a trick question. God's kingdom. Yeah. God wants us to know that and walk in it. We are citizens of heaven. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Remember the Great Commission that God gave Jesus? The Great Commission that Jesus gave the church, especially in Matthew, the one we look at it in Matthew. There's a few other commissions that were given in at the end of the Gospels. But I'm looking at the one at the end of the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew 28, 18 through 20. This is the Great Commission. And I want to qualify, it's still in effect. This commission for the church is still in effect. If AMC wants a purpose, a goal, a vision, this is it. All authority, this is Jesus speaking to his disciples, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. That's a commission for every body of believers, every church. Well, I don't know if I'm part of that. Listen to this. We see in the book of Acts the Great Commission unfolding. If we read the book of Acts, if we read that, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me, therefore, we read that, and then we open up the book of Acts, we'll see it unfolding. And it was unfolding with power. Hallelujah. With power. The Great Commission was unfolding with power. Amen. Acts 1:8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. That promise is still in effect too. That gospel goes out. The witnessing. To God's grace, His mercy, His reconciliation, who He is. Do you want to turn that on? Can you get that on for me, Emma? I'm going to give you a visual of once they got a hold of that. I'm talking about in the book of Acts. Once they got a hold of that, you can see here on these two screens. Top one is the first century churches. Can you see it all pretty good, right? I hope they can on Facebook. First century church. Those red dots. You know what those red dots represent? Churches. Churches that were established under the way of Christ and the apostles. The Pauline cycle, where Paul would go out to the strategic cities, Derbe, Lystra, Iconium, and he would preach the gospel. And then he would leave and he would come back, keep preaching the gospel. But he'd come back to those cities, see who believed, and he would establish a church. He would establish believers in the faith and in the teachings of Jesus Christ. And then he would entrust that church to reliable men. Right there. That's the cycle of heaven. See those red dots up on the top? That's the first century. You might want to think about what I'm preaching here. How did that all happen? How did it happen? First century. Let me bring something into this right now. You say, well, it was Paul. Paul, he was quite the evangelist. You know what he said in Romans 15, I think 23 or 24? He said, he didn't establish a church in Rome. There's only two, I think, on there. Yeah, see, Italy? Two. First century, Rome, and then another one. He didn't establish those churches. He said, I want to visit you on my way to Spain because my work around here is what? Done. What? Done? Yes. And I'll tell you why. You know why? Because he saw those churches were established. And they knew that's like that you were to go out and preach the word. Who? The church. Everybody. Tell everybody this good news. Look at the second century. Paul must have got over to Spain. Look at that. The bottom one, the third century. That's a visual. First, second, and third, until he got to a hierarchy type church and things just changed. But that was solid. That was the way of Christ and the apostles. That's what we have to have today. The way of Christ and the apostles. Evangelizing. Establishing churches. And entrusting them to reliable men. Dear brothers and sisters, I just briefly touched on some of the blessings that our Lord has bestowed on those who call on his name and trust in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We can look at that list above that I just read through. All those blessings. We need to share the love. We talked about love, the joy, the peace, the hope, and the amazing grace with the people out there. We need to share this. You say, I'm not an evangelist. You're a follower of Jesus Christ, and you have experienced his forgiveness, his grace, his mercy, and you should have his joy. You should have the hope. We need to share that. We need to share the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not what? Perish, but have. Yeah. It's been said, I've read, thank you, Emma. The best argument for, listen to this quote, the best argument for Christianity is Christians. Their joy, their certainty, their completeness. But the strongest argument against Christianity is also Christians. When they are somber, joyless, self-righteous, smug, narrow, and repressive. Remember, saints, we have peace with God, we have the peace of God. Only when we surrender our will and do his will. Now, in these times, and it's become more evident as Cindy and I spent a week looking at some very, in America, very challenging situations for standing up for Jesus, standing up in love for the truth. And knowing that when we do stand up, stand firm, stand in the truth and not compromise or back down or coward, it may bring the wrath of hell's fury. And I'm not kidding. We saw it, didn't we, hon? We saw it in America, in Chicago. I could tell you more about it. Come to our men's group and I'll fill you in, you guys. Hell's fury, like nothing I've ever seen. Is this America? Seriously, is this America? One nation under God? God bless America? From sea to shining sea to brotherhood? Revelations 12:12. Don't let this unsettle you. Because then you're walking by fear. And you know what fear is? It's the opposite of what? Faith. Fear and faith go in opposite directions. Revelations 12:12. Therefore rejoice, you heavens, and you who dwell in them. But woe to the earth and the sea, because the devil has gone down to you. He is filled with fury. The rest of the story? You want the rest of that story? Because he knows his time is short. The enemy is defeated. Do we know that already? Do we know the enemy is defeated? Yes, we do. The enemy has been defeated. God's allowing that to happen so we can see God's glory shine like never before. We wouldn't know what righteousness and holiness was if we didn't know and understand sin. Hebrews 3:6, but Christ is faithful as a son over God's house, and we are his house if we hold on to our courage and the hope of which we boast. Again in Hebrews, so do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, like I said before, not our will but his, you will receive what he has promised. For in just a very little while, he who is coming will come and will not delay. But my righteous one will live by faith. And if he shrinks back, I will not be pleased with him. That's a quote from Habakkuk 2:3-4. But we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who believe and are saved. Amen? But we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who believe and are saved. In closing, I want to say the Christian life is not meant to be a journey to the grave with the goal of arriving safely in a well-preserved body, but a race to the finish line, used up, totally fulfilled, and loudly proclaiming, what a ride. What a ride. We got to find joy in this journey, no matter what you see on the news, Nate. We got to. We have to. We have the power to do it. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you a spirit of unity among yourselves as you follow Christ Jesus, so that with one heart and mouth you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 A spirit of unity. Father, I pray that the reading of your word, the speaking of your word, has reached ears that are open and longing to hear truth, encouragement, things that will strengthen them and comfort them in these days and these times. Father, I pray that each one that has heard these words would desire to be filled with your spirit, walk in your grace, and proclaim the hope that we have in and through your resurrected Son, Jesus the Christ, to your glory and to the blessings of the world, especially here in Western New York and in Alden. May you use each person here to go out and proclaim the good news about Jesus. 'Tis the season. Amen.